we pray. Father, we thank you once more this morning. Thank you for the night. Thank you for the gift of another day. And for the ministry, we thank you for the last 6 years. Thank you for the new that is upon us. We ask that this morning we will be instructed to partner with what you have begun to do. We give you praise and glory. In Jesus' name we have prayed. You may please be seated. Can we please help me celebrate Pastor one more time? Thank you for another opportunity to minister. And I trust Jesus that it will be another time of encounter. Now, 6 years is a whole lot of time to stay in ministry. I know that a six-year-old human being may not have covered much distance, but with the challenges that generally attend to those in ministry now, 6 years will be a whole lot. People drop out of ministry now after 2 years, because 2 years is enough to clear your doubts that you don't have a calling. So while we celebrate, which is in order, I believe that it should also be a time to evaluate how far we have come, where we begin to place our current expressions side by side with the original things that God said to us. It's very important to know that as we journey through life, just like a pilot, you know, driving the plane. It was Bishop Oyedepo that said this many years ago. He said the journey of a believer, and by extension the journey of a minister of Christ, is a journey of many corrections. Because as you fly as a pilot, you come against wind action. Okay, you can take the fan off. I think it's the fan. Yes. Okay. So you come against wind action. And what wind does is that it takes you off your course of travel. But because you have a compass, you use your compass to find your direction again. So there are pressures, there are trends that have the power to take us away from our original course. But if we sustain visions of the original compass, which are the original writings that God gave to us, we will be able to beat every new trend, we will beat every new doctrine that comes, we will beat the pull from people around. I'm sure Pastor will be able to say to us that it's possible that some people were not there when God called you, but over time they become advisors and they begin to bring concepts that are not original to what God said to you. No matter how, and this is how I run my life, no matter how hallowed these individuals are in my life, my original statements are superior to every new thing that comes. So that, and this is knowing that I will be judged not by what instructions I subscribed to, but what the caller told me to do. Amen. When people come for our meetings in Obomoso, I'm going to go into scriptures. It's a ministers and workers meeting. So I'll be a little bit off yesterday. We have quite a number of units, yes. But in church, we only do three things majorly. We sing or worship. We pray and we preach. And so a minister began to advise me how that in a student environment you shouldn't have a dance group, which is not wrong. You shouldn't have a drama group. And there are other things that you are supposed to do. And I told him that, you see, when Jesus called me, he gave me three tools. He said, I will grant you access into the depths of revelation as a measurement of your consecration. It means deeper consecration will be deeper revelation. I will grant you access to the help and the education of prayer, because prayer thrives on two things: the helps of prayer and the education of prayer. So the disciples asked Jesus to teach them to pray. That's the education. And in Romans chapter 8 verse 26, we see the help of prayer. Both of them are actually information suppliers, which for another day. But that's what he said he would give us access to. So we pray. And then he said, any dimension of me that you want to see, you must worship into it. So if what we come seeking is glory, we build our worship around glory. If what we are seeking is power, we build our worship around power. So that's what I've been doing. And I told the man, see, I know drama is good, but he didn't tell me that if we act drama, there will be any feedback from heaven. And so if the call came from heaven, you can't create things around the call that are earthy. So I have had to wait on God to say, are we supposed to start acting drama? And he has not told me. So that instruction will be logged, but it will not be acted upon. Because it means if in a 4-5 hour service, if we act drama for 1 hour, we didn't come to church for that 1 hour. So it's a time for evaluation. And in line with the way I started, I just have two scriptures, portions of scripture to read. If you want to put a subject to my discourse this morning, I will call it Encounters for Acceptable Service. Encounters for Acceptable Service. So once again, Father, we receive your word with thanksgiving. Let these words remain in our hearts. Let them become compasses by which we will navigate through the storms that modern day ministry has become. And we ask that when you will return, we will hear you say, welcome, good and faithful servant. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 28 and 29, and then we will journey back into the Old Testament to study from the book of Isaiah, chapter 6. And then I will try to run quickly from verse 1 to 9. And Pastor will release me to go back to promotion. Hebrews 12, 28. Okay, we're not up yet. So let me go from here. Sorry. Okay. 28. Hebrews 12:28. Now the Bible says, wherefore we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. Can I read again? Wherefore we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. Verse 29, for our God is a consuming fire. There are about four elements that will help to drive this subject for this morning, that I can pick from these two verses. So we go back to verse 28 so that we can follow. Now, there has been a lot of contention around the identity of the author. Around the identity of the author of this epistle to the Hebrews. The revelation that is hosted in Hebrews is very deep. And so it is suggested that it was one of the Pauline epistles. But if you place the writing in Hebrews side by side beyond the revelation with every other verse, every other epistle that Paul wrote, you will find out that the style does not pass. Even from the introduction, no matter how revelatory Paul thinks that he doesn't jump into writing to you. He starts by signing off to tell you who the author is, and then he comes to the church with a specific introduction. Many times he establishes his apostleship from the first verse, and he adds many times another title so that you are not lost in his apostleship. So you could say Paul, an apostle and bond servant, so that as you are about to be raptured in the glory of his apostleship, you also remember that he's a servant. And it's a good introduction. Actually, to come that way, and all of these things are designed to impact us, because he begins from his consciousness of his humanity. So he doesn't go Apostle Paul. You know, in modern day times, we start with the office and then we go to the human being. Are you with me? It is wisdom that when God has called us, we are still at home with our humanity. So he's the man of God, but he must understand that he cannot be substituted for God. He's a man. And so because he knows that as a man, the understanding of his frame tells him that he's prone to error. And like that old hymn, he's prone to wander away. So it's these spiritual offices are offices that we must approach with a lot of gravity in our heart, knowing that we are just privileged to serve God amongst his people. And that if we do not pay attention to the motions of our lives, our humanity will cast its a shadow on the divine office, and we could miss our rewards. I was speaking to my oversight in Lagos, because Apostle Aromeh is far in Makoti, and so we have regional oversights. And for our region here is the Reverend Austin Opore. He's the point man for RCN in Lagos. He was telling me, he said, Tolu, what are your thoughts for ministers conference early next year? I said, well, I don't know who is coming to speak yet, but the Lord told me that the theme will be ministry with eternity in view. He said, hey, why? I said, because the average minister has forgotten that his work will be appraised in eternity. That when we are finished here, our rewards have largely been measured into time. So that if you labor well after a while, somebody gives you a house, they give you a car, they give you a land, and you have forgotten that those things will perish with here. That the day will come when you will stand, and every service that people applauded in the earth will be appraised. You know how you write an exam in school, and when you come out of the hall, everybody's rejoicing. How was the exam? Well, it was awesome. And you go home thinking that because your friend said your answers were accurate, that you have an A, forgetting that they are not the ones that we mark. Until the result is pasted, you are still not sure. Because especially if it's not a CBT test, if it's a theory test, there are many things that add up to the outcome. You can write well, but if the person is not emotionally stable, or your name looks like the name of somebody who hurt him when he was growing up, he decides, yeah, that's the truth. People write badly and pass because of the emotional state. Say, Shola, Shola. I remember my friend Shola, the one that used to feed me in school. And the shadow of that helper becomes cast on. Why is this boy even writing like this? And his name is Shola. I say, but he will still pass. And if it's the Shade that broke his heart. Say, so all Shades are bad people. Because. So you are still not sure. And it is because of that uncertainty that attends to ministry that this kind of verses were gifted to the body of Christ. So at the end of the book of Hebrews, we see Timothy's name show up all of a sudden. And so what I teach, you know, I don't have Bible school training. So what I teach is that most likely because Timothy had accompanied so much with Paul, he had bought into the revelatory capacity of Paul, because Hebrews is the New Testament version of the book of Leviticus. It's the blood book. It brings to perspective many of the things that happened in Leviticus. Why do I do these things before I want to preach? Because there's the Berean syndrome that must return back to church. That after we have shared like this, people go back. So I try to do my bit in marketing certain books. So today is Hebrews. Yesterday was John. May God help us. So let's go to verse 28. So we'll be using the name Timothy. So it says to us that there is a shape of the kingdom that we have received. If we had the whole day, what I would have done was to bring us into the shapes of the kingdom, how the kingdom looks like, so that we can know how to accurately relate with it. Foundationally, this kingdom is a legalistic kingdom. It means that even though we run away from rules, it is a rule-based kingdom. It is a law-based kingdom. And so the one who wants to gain acceptability must labor into the laws of the kingdom. So that when Jesus, more than in every other gospel in the book of Matthew, was bringing to the church the concepts of this kingdom, he hid those laws in parables. So when you go through the parables, he says the kingdom of heaven is likened unto. That whole story is supposed to bring to us the consciousness of a kind of legal system. Beyond the parables, Jesus also carried out certain acts that brought us into the consciousness of the metric system. So it's a measured kingdom. And the metric system is very different from our own. For example, there was a day that Jesus approached the offering bowl and stood next to it with his disciples, and they began to watch everyone drop their offerings into the offering bowl. And then he asked them a question: who gave more? Now, based on the earthly perspective, more has to do with volume. But from the divine perspective, more has to do with value, life value. So people gave from their abundance, and while Jesus is not against that, there was a lady who came, a woman, who threw in just 2 pieces. Now Jesus evaluated that she gave more than everybody, because the sum total of her life was those 2 pieces. So what Jesus was not saying, if you give small, you give better. He was saying that the giving of life is superior to the giving of resources. And Paul vocalized that same principle in Romans chapter 12, when he was urging brethren, by the mercies of God, that they offer themselves. So the offering of self is superior to the offering of money, of time, of resources. I always tell people that the offering of money is good. It helps us to do things in church. But you see, money giving can be replaced. It means in the rating, time is greater than money. Because the only way you can gain lost time is to use time. Abi, if you were supposed to pray for 4 hours yesterday and you want to regain 4 hours prayer today, it means your sleeping time will So time is the currency that we use to buy time. So in actual fact, it's not gained, except heaven opens a gate of mercy and then they collapse time. Are you with me? At another time, Jesus was trying to show them how the kingdom of God measured greatness. That in this world, the rulers of the earth, they lord it over their subjects. But in the kingdom that Jesus came to market is not so, because whoever will be the greatest in that kingdom will be the servant. It's an inversion. It's an inversion. So these were eye openers into the shape of the kingdom. But the writer of Hebrews gives us another shape, and it tells us that the kind of kingdom that we have received is one that cannot be moved. Newer translations use the word cannot be shaken. It means that the principles and the guiding principles of this kingdom cannot be altered. The protocols are permanent protocols. There are no two ways to come to God. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one cometh unto the Father except by me. So the proclamation that you are with the Father, when you have not accessed to the gate of Jesus the Christ, is a lie. For example, in Matthew chapter 5, if you study the Beatitudes, I teach that, you see, a cry for mercy will be unanswered if you have not known the way of mercy. Because the Bible says, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. The Bible did not say, blessed are the prayerful, for they shall obtain mercy. So a man who wants to obtain mercy, after you have prayed, you must begin to act in mercy. Are you with me? The church, largely now, especially amongst the younger generation, we cry out for encounters like nobody's business. But the Bible says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. So there are more angelic encounters which are good than God divine encounters, because there is a criteria to see God. The arrogant have no place in this earth, because Jesus said, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. So there are many principles that bring us into the consciousness that this kingdom cannot be shaken. Anything that you do that is not mixed with the activity of the Spirit of God will not be acceptable, because in the Old Testament, it had been written clearly that it will not happen by might, it will not happen by power, but by my Spirit. Even your strength has been programmed for futility, because the Bible says that by strength shall no man prevail. And you see, generation unto generation, these principles have been proven to be true, because the kingdom that they represent cannot be moved. When we come to service, it is also to tell us that the marking scheme is not altered because you are not willing. God is going to mark using the one marking scheme, which is the Christ himself. Anyone who does not measure to him will not receive God's mark of approval. To that end was the Spirit of the Christ given to help to govern our service, so that it can be acceptable with God. Wherefore, seeing that we have received a kingdom which cannot be moved, the Bible says you will need a tool so that your service will not waste. And that tool is grace. When we approach the Lord for salvation, grace began to manifest. Titus 2:11, the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men. And what we saw was the first side of that coin, which is what we call saving grace or merited favor. However, you are not designed to live the rest of your life with saving grace. The other side of grace is what we refer to as enabling grace. It is the congregation of all of the supernatural abilities of Jesus. It's a work tool. It's a service tool. And that's what the writer was referring to. That if Jesus served acceptably, then you will need his catch. So that if a vehicle is discovered to have a flat tire, I know that when you want to pieces meat, you need a fork and a knife. But if we give to a fork and a knife, you will not prosper in removing that tire. Am I right? You will need a wheel spanner. You will likely need a jack. So it means that for every assignment, there is a new set of tools. And if God is calling you to labor acceptably like the Christ, he will need to allocate to you the same tools of the Christ. So the Bible says, let us have grace. Not so that we will be saved, but so that we can serve God acceptably, so that we can meet up with the demands or his demands for service. Service sprinkled with reverence and godly fear, because our God is a consuming fire. Now, for a long time, and that's how we grew up, the God as a consuming fire was marketed as the antidote to witchcraft, to sorcery, to divination. But understand that this manifestation of God is attached to service. When John the Beloved, who became John the Revelator, saw him in Revelations, John gave us a picture of the mortal shape of the Christ, that his eyes is not like our own. There are few realities that your eyes can bring. Maybe eye wax if you sleep for long, and then water, whether you are excited or you are sad, you know, the eye always responds by water. But that if you look into Jesus' eyes, what comes out of his eyes, like flames of fire. He doesn't use it when he's relating with the saints to destroy them. He uses those eyes to appraise their service. So they don't need to carry your work and throw it in the fire to test it. What he does is that every time you show up with your work, he beholds it. And if that work has not been done with grace, so that it becomes acceptable, what his eyes does to it is that it consumes it. So that a man comes with two Ecolac bags saying, I worked for you. And when he looks at the man and the work, the Ecolac bags, they go into thin air, because his eye burns it. That's how people will be stripped of work. And if a man is stripped of work, he will be stripped of rewards. So it's a great matter. And the reason why it is so is because the kingdom cannot be moved. Amen. So Isaiah chapter 6. A man shows up as Isaiah, and you know, in the Old Testament, there are basically two kinds of prophets, rated major prophets. Am I right? And Pastor, if you am wrong, be telling me I'm wrong. There are major prophets and there are minor prophets, and the classification is not actually based on the size of what of their books. Is based on the strength of their communication, how relevant their communication is along the lines of God's core assignment for the prophetic in the Old Testament, which is partly to unveil his counsel but largely to unveil the Messiah. So those who did more business around the messianic expressions of the Christ are the ones that were referred to as the major ones. And Isaiah was a major prophet among the major prophets. He began his prophetic enterprise from Isaiah chapter 1. And he began to glide from prophecy to prophecy. I would have wanted to show us some of the things he said in Isaiah chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, chapter 4, and even chapter 5. That the alignment of a prophet is not actually adjudged by the accuracy of his utterance. Are you with me? So if somebody says it will rain tomorrow, and I say fake prophet, fake prophet, fake prophet, and then we wake up tomorrow and it rains, if you say he's a true prophet, you are wrong. There are many energies that can produce what people say. And when the issues have to do with the things of men, even darkness can spy. Are you with me? So when I go to the park, there are these white women. I don't know if they are in the pardon. There are plenty in Oshobo. They come with bells. So they come and say, "Oh, come in." The first thing I say is, "Baby, shall call you." No. It's good to sign off that way. I don't want to start seeing anybody in my dreams. No. I am not related to you. They say, "Oh, mommy, I'm your kiss, mommy, you." What do you want? Say, this journey. Say, well, me, I took permission before I left home. And the only thing that will make this car crash, or the only thing that will not make me arrive safely, is if the engine of this car doesn't start. That's how I travel. If the driver starts and the car sounds and moves, I will arrive. The one that will crash will not start. So that's how I choose. So I just calm them, and when they want to say too much, thank God for AirPods, thank God for earphones. I just play loud, and I don't want to disturb my spirit with what God is not saying. Because the Bible says, "My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me." And the Bible says, "The voice of the stranger, they will not follow." It's because they don't know that voice. The voice is strange to them. It's a strange frequency trying to come in, and they have the capacity to cut it off. If you look at the first 5 chapters of Isaiah, he had done well. His utterances were longer than some of those minor prophets. The first 5 chapters of Isaiah were longer than what was recorded for some of them. But when God wants to help a serving man, what he does is that he builds an encounter for that man. And that's why I said encounters for acceptable service. He builds an encounter that reveals to the serving man something more than service. In Genesis, before the death of Abel, what actually occasioned the death of Abel was that God deployed an appraisal system. God decided to go beyond the sacrifices that were brought before him, and he used the man as the measurement for the approval of the sacrifice. So the Bible makes us to know that first the person of Abel was received, and then his sacrifice became acceptable. But the person of Cain was not received. In children's church, they told us that, you know, Cain brought yams that had fungi upon them, and that these yams have started growing. Now, the Bible does not even tell us that it's yam. Teach your children well. Pastor, you know, they told us that when the 3 wise men came, they met Jesus in a manger. Have you seen them act it before? But the Bible says that the star stopped on the house where the child was, because they journeyed for 2 years. It was children 2 years and below that they killed. Because Herod asked them, when did the star appear? The star came up in the day that Jesus was born. So they came from the east. It was a journey of 2 years. How can they be living? How can a carpenter be living in a manger for 2 years? They only came for census. Am I right?
Yes, sir.
They went back home. Jesus didn't grow up in Bethlehem. He grew up in Nazareth. So they had gone back home. It was their home that the star went to. But we tell our children that they brought, "We 3 kings of Oriental," and they came bearing gifts. The Bible did not even say they were 3 wise men. The Bible just said there were wise men who came bearing 3 gifts. So whether they were 100 or 70 or 30, that it was 10 per gift. Even 2 wise men who brought 3 gifts. So let's raise our children well. Because any departure from God's absolute truth will open a generation to deception. That was the error of Eve. God did not say we should not eat anything here. But he said this one, we should not eat it. We should not even touch it. The reason why she could eat was that she broke Adam's second rule. She touched. And immediately she touched, she saw that death didn't happen. Because when we create human laws, our human laws cannot produce the consequences of divine laws. Some sisters, their moms, if you touch a young man, you get pregnant. So when we line up in school, in the university, if your body touches them, they shout, don't touch. Okay. Then after a while in engineering, we shake everybody. So when we shake our sister, some of them find out, our monthly cycle is still on. It means that by shaking, nobody gets pregnant. If they have not been well schooled, they will go the other length, break the divine law, and then they will not start crying. So, a day came in the life of Isaiah, in Isaiah chapter 6, and because there was no dating system, no physical, no visible calendar, times were calibrated along the lines of the most dominant event in that season. I know that people use the death of King Uzziah to pray. It's not wrong, but it's not. That's not the spirit of scriptures. To say that King Uzziah must die so that you must see the Lord. The Bible was just telling us that a particular year came in the life of Israel where the king died. And in that same year, beyond the reality of the death of the king, it is like saying in the year that Queen Elizabeth died, Reverend Tolu came to sort out church. Are you with me? So you will be wrong to say, was because Queen Elizabeth died. My coming has nothing to do, I've checked. It has nothing to do with her death. Are you with me? So in the year King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord. What does that mean? It means that as a prophet, there were many things that Isaiah saw, many things that could have gifted him the privilege of bringing forth more prophetic writings. But in addition to the many things that he saw, God ensured that there was an encounter. I saw also, we don't know the other things that he saw. The rise of Israel, maybe. A winged creature, maybe. His grandchildren or great-grandchildren, we don't know if he was married. But he saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up. And his strength filled the temple. For time's sake, let me just run through it. Go ahead. I'm going to 9. Above it, giving us the picture of the throne room, stood the seraphims. Each one had 6 wings, and with twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. That's how to generate smoke. Amen. It's strong worship. Good. Then said I, he was gifted a 4-verse revelation. Just 4 verses of revelation. And his feedback was, "Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." We might need to pause a little and ponder, because when Isaiah saw the Lord, what was appraised was not the totality of his existence. What was appraised was his tool of function. He didn't say, I'm a man of unclean feet. He said, I'm a man of unclean lips. He meant that those first five chapters of Isaiah were accurate pronouncements from unclean lips. Amen.
Amen.
Well, Isaiah told us how comfortable, or showed us how comfortable it is to bring forth accurate utterance from unclean lips. He said, it is because I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. It means all of us are the same. Ministry, service is carried out at the same level until God begins to single out men in encounters. It meant that if Isaiah ever felt convicted, somebody's testimony will quench his conviction. To say, Isaiah says, I feel I'm not right with God, the person will say, you are the best of us now. We are the same. You mean somebody can hear from God like this and it's not like this? No, don't allow the devil. Is you have to be conscious that you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. No. You are sin conscious. You should be righteousness conscious. Now that's what you should feel. Say it's guilt, and the Holy Spirit does not administer it. There are a lot of gospels that we can build around conviction that can strangulate it. I dwell there. That's my habitat. That on my street, when I walk, other mothers say, if they see a misbehaving boy, what they say is, should be someone that gave birth to Isaiah. Have you heard those kind of things? There's someone that gave birth to Isaiah. He's the pride of every mother on this street. Why can you not become like Isaiah? So if everybody is bad, it will be difficult to know if there's a reason for change. And I don't mean bad, because what exposed the uncleanness of Isaiah was that he had the privilege to behold the marking scheme of holiness. So we must cry out to see something more than we have seen, because it may reveal to you that there's more to the change that God is demanding from you. There are strange boutiques in town that if you buy a white shirt there, if you don't go outside to check your white shirt, when you get home, you'll find out that you have been swindled. I have seen it too much. Say this shirt is sky blue. The guy always keeps going towards blue light. You should tell him, no, let's go out. Say, no, don't take. Once they say don't take, you can't take it out. It means that they have plans. That was what happened to Isaiah. There are lights that help to evaluate a minister, your service, that are human lights. When God wants to bring us into acceptability, he exposes us by the ministry of other men, sometimes by personalized encounters, to another light that helps to reveal that you are not good. So that in the bank, they are gifted a special light to reveal which currency is false or good. Now, those two currencies, they pass on the street. But when you come into the bank, because of the weightiness of that system, they judge every note that passes through their hands. We are six. And because we are six, I perceive that there is a call to come to judgment. To say, God, can you shine your light on this work and give us the same lenses that we use to judge us? The Bible encourages that we should come to judgment before the judgment. Judge yourselves, lest you be judged. And somebody is wondering, how does that happen? What it means in this living dimension is that you present yourself to be judged before everybody is judged. Lord, check my work. Am I doing well? Some years ago, we found out that we were needing more money as a ministry and we're not getting more money. So I went to God and said, you said you provide for this work. What are we doing wrong? He said, one of the last things you do in church is offering. I said, yes. He said, why? I said, no. Everybody that comes to church is supposed to give offering. So when we have finished everything, At least by the time we are taking that offering, everybody who wants to come to church, am I right, will be in church. I don't have such boldness to say, if you came late, as you are going, drop your offering. So let's kukuma put the offering at the back. The Lord now said, if church is, it used to be 5 that time, it's 4 now. If church is 4 p.m. and somebody comes at 5:30, should that person give offering? I said, what do you mean? He says, somebody who waits till 5:30 to come to church, when on my behalf you have announced that service, comes maybe 1 hour 30 minutes later, when on my behalf you announced time for service, that person came late as an activity of dishonor. He said, so why the church is poor is that you receive offering from people who dishonor me. What? So what should we do? He said, so if service is 4, by 4:30, offering should be taken. It means that most times, half of the people coming to church will not give offering. And he warned me that, warn your ushers, anybody who does not give offering when offering was taken must not give offering again. Even their tithes, they should take it back home. What we found out was that from the following Sunday, immediately we adjusted the program, from that following Sunday, the offering swelled. It was first like 5-6 times. And offerings have stayed at that high level forever. So people come and say, take your title. You can add it to next week, but come in. Because we'll not collect. So we saw that we were no longer dependent on a crowd giving offering. What God wants from us is honorable offering. And the metric system for honor is that they showed up in his presence early. Amen.
Amen.
What broke the back of scarcity was that we decided to take ourselves before the light of lights, to say, view us. No, because that thing is not wrong. I mean, generally, people like late offering. And then there's an offering box for late comers, so that it's possible in the more religious churches, not more spiritual, but more religious, there are people who give offering without coming to church. They feel that their relationship with God is offering. So if someone, I say, you are going to church today. Oh yeah, take my offering. It's more like, at least I came. Isaiah sought the Lord and said, woe is me. So there is a shape of encounters that brings a man into the acceptability of service. And the first thing God does is that he reveals himself, not you. He reveals himself. It was a king that Isaiah saw. And every time a king shows up, he shows up to decree, he shows up to judge, he shows up to make normal what is abnormal. He saw a king. He heard a cry. He saw the feedback. Isaiah in that revelation was shown the true feedback of words, that words are not supposed to land empty. They are supposed to occasion glory. Are you with me? That our utterances are supposed to give off an advertisement of God and not just end as utterances. Isaiah, you have tried, but this is not how the prophetic was designed to be. And the reason is because you have found true statements, but you have not labored into a true identity. Revelation. That's one. There are just 5 things I want to speak about. Next verse. Verse 6. I'm almost there. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken from the tongs from off the altar. Verse 7. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity, you have personalized iniquity, is taken away, and thy sin is purged. So this prophesying prophet had personalized iniquity, and he had his own his own sin. These were two tools that did not have the potency of taking him out of the prophetic. It means, as against popular opinion, there are things that you can keep doing and keep serving. Are you with me? But when you see him, a revelation of him brings a revelation of yourself second to revelation in the tokens of that encounter that brings acceptable service is the impartation of conviction. Isaiah vocalized his conviction by saying, "Hey, woe is me." This is how they do it. You know, when you look at some of our fathers, if you have gone to a W.F. Kumuyi crusade before, you should come back humble. There's too much drama around the miraculous for younger people. It is too much. Say, everybody pray. Then we pray, we drum the thing up, and then we begin to harvest energies and we deploy it. And people think that we are gods. Baba only says, when I say in Jesus' name, you say amen. You don't trouble yourself. Don't pray. Just say amen. And he says, in the name of Jesus, blind eyes be open. Cripples begin to walk. You know, he says it with that, you know, he has a musical voice. I started listening to him gun again. So it comes simply like that, and you don't need to turn your head to look around, because even right where you are, there's a scream. One wheelchair just went up. Somebody just threw away his stick. Now he can see. When I went to Zaria to minister for my spiritual father, the Dr. John Akpam, I was in impartation service and I was supposed to do impartation, but immediately I saw Baba sitting down, I said, "Come, take dressing." So I just labored. I preached on the subject, God's technologies for the mantle transfer. I taught on six things using the example of Elisha and Elijah, to six things that a younger generation must do to come into the energies of their fathers. So you must serve the grace that you want to receive from, not serve his ministry, but serve him. Are you with me? And so people who serve ministry get ministry rewards, but many of the things that the man labors with are his things in God. If you want his things, you will serve him. Are you with me? So you will wash his car, you will wash his clothes, you will, when people speak evil about him, you will hear enough to make you run away, but you will stay. Are you with me? I won't tell you the rest, but I've told you the story, so go and find them. That's not what Pastor told me to come and do, so that you not think I'm speaking on his behalf. Okay, so he did not say anything to me. But when I finished, I prayed for about 5 minutes and I walked to my seat, and then he stood up and came. He said, we have not met before, but that when he came to church, because he arrived before us, you know, there's a way they keep guests back. He said, the Lord actually said to me that there are certain mantles I've been using to labor over the years. And in the north, he's called the light of the north. That's what they call him. He has overstayed in Zaria, that he has seen all the battles, but he has stayed. So that's what they call him. Light such that if you're afraid to stay in the north, when you remember that he has stayed there, he gives you hope. His obedience has worked energies in God. So he came and said, there are graces I have used for life and ministry. And when I came in, God actually told me, you can give them today. That he doesn't do that normally. So this, my young man now came, and it was my first time meeting him, and preached on mantles. He said, so we'll give them now. And I thought he would say, begin to ask for mantles. It was a quiet meeting. Lord, now let these graces begin to go out. That's how he did his hand. And my God, that place tore apart. I was like, hey. Theophilus was sitting beside me, Theophilus Sunday, so I tapped him and said, Theosio, see. Even we, where we were, we could not stand. People were flat on the ground, and I was like, no drama. We have not learned this thing. You know, when you are watching impartations, there's this man, Andres Bisoni. when he stands and the Holy Spirit comes after worship and whispers a few words, you can see a whole stadium flat on the ground. They are struggling to get up because glory came. We have not learned too much. We have not learned too much. Every time Apostle preaches, my spiritual father and I feel, God will help us too. When you hear another sermon, you are wondering, God, now we thought we were close, we are far. Sometimes what God uses to help you, is that he brings men as lights to reveal you. But you have not traveled too far. It deflates your pride and it is good for service. That you have not rendered your best song, you have not laid your best prayers, you have not preached your best sermon, and you have also not worn your best suit. Amen. Conviction. Every man who truly subscribes to God's administration of this essence that provides conviction is helped. And so the next thing that comes is an impartation that sanctifies. One of these creatures flew and picked a tongue from the fire, and it applied it to his lips, and then an utterance. Because when God begins to work this cleansing activity, you need a feedback to know how far he has gone. The reason is simple, is that we came with different kinds of iniquity, which is the hidden mystery of sin. You don't know it's there until the right atmosphere is created, and then there are manifestations that make you a surprise, a negative one to yourself. So I can be like this. Yes, it had always been there, but it was waiting for fertilization before it manifested. It also comes to take away sin. So you must wait from that proclamation. Some have been gifted these encounters, but they didn't stay long enough. The one who administers cleansing must be allowed to appraise that now you are clean. It will take 10 years for some people. Because in the New Testament economy, when God begins to cleanse you, he goes as far as you allow him to go. So he says, I want to deal with anger inside you. And when he brings the tongues to burn it, you say, no. I want to be able to still deal with some people. So he leaves you there. I used to share that a particular lady, we went for deliverance, and as we began to just minister normally, she began to give us signs and repeat that it was witchcraft. So as we approached unto her, she told us, wait. So we waited. Say, please, this thing you want to do, if somebody abuses me, you mean I can't hurt the person again? We said, no. Because the kind of spirit you want to administer will make you a gentle person. She says, no, I'm not ready. And in my own theology, you don't help somebody who does not want to be helped. So we allow that go with our witchcraft. At least we are immune. There are things that people don't want to lose. It's not every blind man that wants to see, because he knows in the day he begins to see, he will start walking. Are you with me? There are sick people that don't want to be healed now, that even though they are healed, they know we are packing out of the house. So see, my head is still aching me. Say, sit down there. You don't need help. But we must subscribe to the help. So when God begins to cleanse periodically, he brings statements to show that progress is being made. Now you are clean. Now pride is gone. Now lust is gone. Now that strange craving is gone. All in a bid to produce a mortal that is acceptable, so that the service can be acceptable. In closing, when God has perfected that cleansing work, what he does is that he redeploys after a proclamation. And that's where we're going to pray. Isaiah 6, we go to verse 8 and 9. I'm done. Ogbomoso calls. Thank you, Pastor, for this privilege. And I also, means in addition to all that has happened, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? It's 6 years, but I perceive in my spirit that there is an intensification of labors that is upon the house. So God is asking again, whom shall I send? I know that there were people who went to run the last errand or the errands of the last 6 years, but God is looking around again to say, who will bear this new weight of expression? But beyond that request, he makes a second request, which I think is more important, because when God says, who shall I send? We have ready men. He said, who will go for us? Because there are people who said yes to sending, and when they entered into the field of labor, we found out that they didn't go on behalf of God. They had ulterior motives for labor. God is saying, if we send you, who will represent our interest? That in the choir, the person will not sing the newest song that was released. The person will sing the song that God is instructing. That in preaching, good morning, sir. God bless you, sir. That in preaching, you will not preach what is trending. Because the one who is sent must labor into another level of acceptability, which is going for the one who sent you, representing all of his interests. It means that you'll be willing to preach a sermon that is counter the trend, because that's what God wants people to hear, who will go for us. Largely in Nigeria now, we have trending churches that they wait to look at what is happening around, and then we jump into it because we feel that we were raised to compete. We have lost our posture, our pay setting posture. Who will go for us? Who will go for us? Verse 8 actually was not Isaiah's utterance, because the first 6 verses were to bring Isaiah into a place where in his vision he could embody the Christ, and then his utterances would be messianic. That's what God was doing. Because whom shall we send, who will go for us, was not Isaiah's call. He was the call of the Christ. It means that when we come into acceptability, we begin to do business on behalf of the Christ and no longer as men. What was the answer? Verse 9. If you look at these verses, they were captured in the utterances of Jesus as revealing to us his teaching mandate when he came. Go and tell these people, hear indeed, but understand not. This was the birth of the teaching technique of Jesus in speaking to men, not in plain language, but in parables. So that they will hear indeed and not understand. They will see, but not perceive. This was the same explanation Jesus gave when his disciples asked him, why do you teach them in parables? He said it's so that when they see, they will not perceive. When they hear, they will not understand. It is so that their hearts will not be converted. But unto you, it has been given to know. The word there is intercourse with the mysteries of the kingdom. There is a call to embody the Lord more as we travel beyond 6, because the assignments are getting bigger. The weight of darkness on our nation is getting strong, not because darkness is advancing, but because light is dwindling. And so in this season, the labor to preserve the light has become an all-time labor. I close with a song. We used to sing that song in children's church. He says, this little light of mine, I am going to let it shine. How many people know the song? Don't play it too, so that we don't go back to children's church. Yes. But he says, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. And the third time it comes, he says, this little light of mine. It was not in the bid to diminish the strength of the light that was possessed. It was to compare the intensity of that light with what is going around, that is little compared to the weight of darkness. But against the weight of darkness, I have made a choice that this light will shine. There is a numbering enterprise that is going on in God, and what God is seeking out is for places where the light is still shining. The light may be under pressure, but we have a promise that the bruised reed he will not break, and the flickering lamp he will not put out. It means that everywhere God finds light, what he does is to labor to ensure that the light becomes a wildfire. But it is our job to preserve what God has given to us. This is my counsel for the 6th anniversary, that there must be the desire for such encounters as the one that Isaiah had, so that in appraisal we can journey into more. Can we bow down our heads to pray? What God will do as a congregation, I perceive he will first begin to do on a personal level. That in this same year, as we celebrate the 6th anniversary, God will be creeping into our private altars, and he will be manifesting himself in a fashion that will occasion appraisal. I want to see, that's what the song says, only through your eyes I want to know your ways. Take me to the cleft of the rock that is higher than I. There is a plane from which me can be well seen. A plane that is beyond the appraisal of men. A plane that is beyond the accolades of men. A plane where I can be appraised from the lenses of the one who sent me. Oh my. Kumai Sofi Komina Vela Kosata Bahate. Oh, you are the God who singles out men so that you can deal with them. We ask that in this season we will be singled out for your dealings. You will reveal, you will convict, you will purify, you will sign up purification, and oh God, you will recommission. We ask of you, O gentle Savior, pass us not. I know you will go to my brothers, I know you will go to my sisters, but Lord, insist on coming to me. Hear this humble cry, that as you call upon others, you will not pass this boy by. Not another encounter that will not alter my existence. Not something that will end in a story, but something that will end in a new conversion. There is a new sending in you, and oh God, we ask that as a church, we will be found in the center of your village. I know, come on, that Mano Ketoria Beskateno. We have only 3 minutes more, and I will drop the microphone. But can you ask the Lord to insist on you? Insist, insist. I to salo parote ama pove. Ivanai satale paranosa. Isaiah, it's been 5 chapters, and God is saying to someone, it's been 6 years. But you must see me now. You must see me now. Ialama kakombe asila bahaya. Iko katoto mekaria kabara kutane. Efeka beba bako kataya. Sides that convict. Sides that sanctify. Oh God, sides that recommission. Oh. Bakato ken shailu kato. Makosi ke bato. Oh, don't pass me, don't pass me. You can stop here. I sign up to be altered. I sign up for change. Don't pass me by. Eh, akakake mungabata. Rakoko sendotin dek.
that service may rise up to you acceptably in reverence and godly fear. Send me again. This time let me go for you. Be the end of my service. Be the end of my service. Let your pleasure eat up the fabric of my service. Not for me, O God, but to advance your kingdom. My life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take my moments and my days, let them flow praise, let them flow in season. Take my will and make it time. Take my will and make it. It shall be no longer mine. It shall be no longer. It is thy own. It is thy own. It shall be thy royal throne. It shall be thy royal throne. Lord, it shall be